This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for lectures, features, and radio shows. And now, here's Coy Barefoot.
Dan Olmstead joins me. He is a former UPI reporter and author of the Age of Autism series that appeared in newspapers across the country throughout the early 20th century, and is now one of the founders and the editors at ageofautism.com, where he provides daily updates about autism, and it is the place to go on the internet if you want the very latest about autism here in America. Dan, good afternoon, sir.
Hi there, Coy.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I need to get down there and get some of that free gas. My tank is right below empty, I have to tell you.
Yeah, free gas is a good thing. Good thing. Dan, we also want to say before we get into the conversation here, updating folks about autism, we want to also just sort of make this announcement here that you are now, as of this interview, you will be a regular monthly guest on this program, providing us the very latest from ageofautism.com.
Well, that's great. I appreciate the forum, and you've certainly been a great outlet for all kinds of folks to talk about this issue, which I think is starting to get a lot more attention, and that's just great.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Thank goodness. So before we get into stuff, I just want to ask you this first question here. I spoke to Barack Obama a few weeks ago. And,
right.
No big major interview. They gave me 4 or 5 minutes, but
it was good though.
Well, thank you. I did ask him about autism and he said, I'm committed to providing funding and helping families. And, you know, he said what a dad of a little boy with autism like me that might want to hear. But then he also said, you know, I've been working with Autism Speaks, which is a national organization founded by Bob Wright, chairman of NBC. And or is it General Electric? I can't remember. I get them confused. But
he's like vice chairman of General Electric and used to be head of NBC, which is part of GE.
There you go. Okay. Autism Speaks, of course. Now, the reaction to that on the internet was not all that positive from a lot of parents and family members who are dealing with autism. And can you explain that to us? I know why, but give us a little background, a little history, and a little context for why a lot of parents out there aren't really crazy about this national organization, Autism Speaks, which a lot of people see commercials about. A lot of folks were disappointed that Barack Obama said that, you know, he's working with Autism Speaks.
Well, you can't really blame him in the sense that it's the highest profile and largest and richest organization. And hopefully he'll, if he's elected, he would branch out and embrace more of the community. I mean, the issue with Autism Speaks is not so much what it does as what it doesn't do. In other words, what it does is raise awareness and run ads and help people, raise money for the cause. But it hasn't really been very forthcoming about what a lot of us think is going on here, which is that there's an environmental root to this disorder, that it's not really genetic, and that we've got to look at various sources, including vaccines and the mercury that was in vaccines and it still is in a lot of the flu shots that pregnant women and infants still get. And so, in fact, Bob Wright's own daughter, Katie Wright, broke with him rather publicly about this, and she feels very strongly that her son, Christian, was damaged by vaccines and developed regressive autism after the MMR shot, and has joined some other organizations that, like Safe Minds and the National Autism Organization. So it's become kind of a flashpoint and a big example of what's going on a lot of places, which is that people are disagreeing very strongly about what's the basis of this and what we need to do to stop it.
We're talking with Dan Olmstead, former UPI reporter, the editor at ageofautism.com, and I strongly encourage you, if you'd like to understand more about autism and you want to read about the very latest news, whether it's from the world of politics or science or the community of folks who are dealing with autism, I strongly encourage you to check out the website, ageofautism.com. So, Dan, go right ahead. What are some of the top news items y'all have been covering?
Well, you know, it's election time, and so we're getting some very interesting comments from the candidates. John McCain mentioned a family by name. I think it was the Wimmers in his acceptance speech, and said that he was working for people like that to help find out what their could help their child recover. Interestingly enough, David Kirby just wrote a piece on our site that interviewed the father, who said that, in fact, their child was getting better, and he was getting better from what are called biomedical treatments, which are things like diets and supplements and, you know, various other things that are very controversial and that mainstream medicine has largely rejected. So it's even someone who was spotlighted at the Republican convention is going down this path, which is quite interesting. Then on the other side, we've got Barack Obama, who recently was quoted, and we've got this on our website too, as saying that he's not in favor of selective vaccination, which is, again, another flashpoint, because a lot of parents want to take more control of the vaccine schedule. They're concerned about the MMR and the chickenpox shot at 12 months. They're concerned about the mercury-containing flu shot in pregnant women and that sort of thing. So he's drawn some flack for that. Again, I think, you know, it's too early to really, you know, decide one candidate is better than the other on this issue. I think they all need to be really held to account and questioned pretty seriously. Sarah Palin, it emerged today, has not only a child with Down syndrome, but her sister has a child with autism. So, you know, the Republicans have a personal stake here that is going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Very interesting that we're talking with Dan Olmstead of ageofautism.com. This is Charlottesville right now. It's very interesting, I think, that Barack Obama said that he wasn't for selective vaccination, which to me is just a personal rights issue. You know, I don't think the government should be in the business of saying you have to give your baby this shot at this time, and this is exactly what's going to be in it. You know, if I want to say, look, I think my baby might be too young for that. I want to wait a little bit, or I don't want four vaccines in one jab. I'd like to sort of space them out and stretch them out to minimize the risk to this child. I think that should be a decision between a parent and a doctor, and should have nothing to do with the government. So that's just my own two cents.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously agree with that because I personally think that you know, this vaccine schedule is out of control. I mean, I think what we really need is a top-to-bottom review of this, which is kind of what all the candidates have said, that they think that we need to get in there and take a fresh look at the overall vaccine schedule and whether it's causing these unintended problems and whether we need to space them out. I mean, I'm not so much concerned about, you know, what Obama has to say about the polio vaccine or that sort of thing as whether he is really willing to face this issue head on, go head to head with the CDC to get them to review this vaccine schedule and to do the kind of studies on vaccinated versus never vaccinated kids that we need to really understand what's going on, because there's been some strong research lately, for example, in primates that showed that infant monkeys who got this whole vaccine schedule that, you know, is right now being implemented in this country, they got very sick, and the ones who were not vaccinated did not. So, you know, nobody wants polio back. Nobody wants a room full of iron lungs. But also nobody wants one in 100 boys in this country to have autism. So, you know, it's not either or. It's let's get real about this situation.
Absolutely. Dan Olmstead from ageofautism.com. For me, Dan, it's really about very simply, and it's a very simple matter. I think too much of this vaccine schedule has been determined by pharmaceutical lobbyists and not enough by real doctors and parents with their input deciding what's best for these children. It's been, hey, we've got this. I mean, just imagine you have, if you're a pharmaceutical company, you've got more lobbyists in Washington than the defense industry. You have the ability to go to the government and basically pass a law that says everyone has to buy your product. And
right.
It's just mind-blowing to me. And they push these drugs, they push these shots and these jabs into these infants when, at the end of the day, we haven't really firmly proven that they're all necessary and necessary on that time schedule.
And whether the ingredients that are being used in them are safe or necessary. I mean, this issue of but mercury is still one that's very important, and I'm working on a book with Mark Blaxwell that's looking at the history of mercury poisoning, really, by medicine over the last 500 years. And, you know, mercury should never be in medical products, and yet, you know, doctors don't seem to understand what toxicologists know, which is that mercury, and especially the organic ethyl mercury that's in the flu shot now, is terribly, terribly bad news. I'm just reading this book by Paul Offit, who is a doctor who's very pro-vaccine, which is fine, but you know, he makes this incredible statement that organic mercury, which is the kind that's, you know, in fish and that pregnant women aren't supposed to eat and that's in vaccines, is much less dangerous than the inorganic kind that has been used in medicine and, you know, before we were able to create these newer molecules of mercury. So they don't know what they're talking about, and they act like the rest of us are idiots. It's really quite a situation.
Dan Olmstead is a former UPI reporter and author of the Age of Autism series, which appeared nationally for many years. Groundbreaking work about the history of autism and the science and the politics. He's now the editor at ageofautism.com. Very, very interesting stuff and amazing. Dan, if I'm not mistaken, didn't the federal government required the removal of mercury from like dog medicine even before they required it taken out of vaccines?
You know, I think the veterinarians decided that for themselves quite a long time ago. In fact, there was a amazing memo or letter that was sent to Eli Lilly, which is the manufacturer of some aerosol that's used in these vaccines for kids, and the letter said that we've tried this on dogs and we find it unsuitable for use in dogs. So here's a product that has, you know, in the 70 or 80 years since then, has continued to be used in kids. They also took it out of over-the-counter, you know, eye and ear drops 15 or so years ago, and yet, you know, to beat a dead horse here, I think we are making a huge and obvious mistake in exposing anyone, and especially newborns or fetuses.
Yeah, and that ethyl mercury that is still in flu shots, and a lot of people will get flu shots and say, oh, I felt so sick. Well,
right.
If there's a poison in it, for God's sakes. Well, I'm not surprised. There's 25 micrograms of ethyl mercury in each flu shot that they urge pregnant women to get and babies to get and old people to get. And it's not surprising it might make you feel like crap. There's poison in it.
Well, and I talked to a doctor in Virginia just a couple of months ago, not far from you guys, who told me that the younger cases, the very youngest kids with autism that she's seen now, she calls them the flu shot kids. The mother got the flu shot with mercury in it, and the kid got it, you know, right on schedule at 6 months. And those are the ones that seem to be popping up now as the newest generation. So, I must be off on a different planet than some of these folks who think that this is not a problem, but. What can I do?
What's the latest on the research, Dan? Because there's a lot of doctors out there, a lot of pediatricians who think, oh, well, that was the CDC proved a long time ago that there's no connection between mercury and autism.
Yeah. Well, that's just not correct. You know, the facts cluster around a good hypothesis, and there was just another set of facts that came out the other day where some scientists were looking at this vaccine mercury, this aerosol, not to study it in connection with autism or anything else, but just, you know, as a sort of a research project. And they were working with mice, and they happened to realize that it was three times more toxic in male mice than in female mice. And this may sound rather esoteric, but stop and think. We've got an autism rate of 3 or 4 boys to every 1 girl, and researchers are just stumbling on the fact that this kind of mercury that's in vaccines is 3 or 4 times more toxic to boys than girls. That's the kind of thing that just ought to send shivers down people, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And yet we continue to see, there was a study last week that seemed to, again, vindicate the MMR and show it had no connection with autism, but there were some issues with that that several people have written about that I don't think that's decisive at all. I think the studies continue to be limited. That study was funded by the CDC, which approved the vaccine schedule. We need independent, powerful research that's going to cost a lot of money, take a couple years, get some final answers here, you know, adjust the vaccine schedule so that kids aren't harmed but they're protected, and then get on with things and also find out how to help the kids who have already been affected.
Yeah, and before anybody calls me as somebody who goes on the radio and says, oh, you shouldn't get vaccinated, I'm pro-vaccine. There's just way too many benefits that come from vaccinations. I mean, as evidenced by the fact that I got both of my kids vaccinated. Yeah. They got every shot they were supposed to get. But I think they are not near as safe as they should and can be. And we just have too many interests, moneyed interests, standing in the way of a real and, you know, nonpartisan investigation that would finally get us on the track of getting these things really safe, and not just each individual shot, but the schedule itself safe. Because when we were kids, we got about 8 shots. Now they're getting, you know, in excess of 20, 25 shots, all because, you know, pharmaceutical companies go to the government and say, hey, you know, put this on the schedule. It could be, you know, it's billions. It means billions of dollars to a pharmaceutical company if you can get your shot on the vaccine schedule. And they push for it really hard. So just as I am for seatbelts in a car, that doesn't make me anti-car. I just want a safe car. It's the same thing with vaccines. There is no reason why they cannot be safer, and the schedule itself safer. And my hope would be that we would just get to a point in this country where the politics would open the door to that kind of thing, because right now it's slammed shut.
Well, that's why I think either McCain or Obama will hopefully bring new energy to this. I mean, we have to hope and pray that'll be the case. You know, it's these unintended consequences. Corey, for example, you know, the chickenpox shot, which is really not necessary, but is just, they act like it's, you know, the second coming of the public health policy that everybody's getting the shot. But in truth, it's creating an epidemic of shingles among adults for some complicated reasons. But I just had dinner with a guy who was my age, you know, in his 50s, who had shingles. Nothing wrong with him. And he said 2 more folks in his office had shingles. And, of course, then there's a vaccine now for shingles, which is made by the same people who make the chickenpox vaccine. So it's rich, not in a good way.
Amazing. We're talking with Dan Olmstead of ageofautism.com. Michelle is on the line in Charlottesville. Michelle, thanks for the call. You're on with Dan. Go right ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to make the point that there's a lot of people talking about the autism. However, not much is being said about the developmental delays as well, from the vaccines, that one in 6 kids have some sort of developmental delay.
Yeah, it's an excellent point, and I've heard discussions and had discussions with folks who've said that this is all sort of connected. You know, kids are sicker than they've ever been. We're seeing a lot more eyeglasses, a lot more walking problems, a lot more asthma and eczema and than we've ever seen before.
I agree with that, and I think, you know, it's also the EPA has said that 1 out of 6 mothers has so much of a mercury burden when her child is born that the kid is at risk for developmental disorders. So you can almost lay these things over each other, and they're a perfect match. I think you're very right to point out these broader issues, Michelle, and I think they all need to be looked at. That's why one of the fundamental questions that some people ask is, why are so many children sick? I mean, let's start there.
Yeah.
And figure it out and let the chips fall, as opposed to saying, you know, does Tamiflu cause autism or this sort of thing? Let's go back to the first principles here. We want our kids to be healthy. They're our future. They're the reason we're doing everything we're doing. Something's wrong. It's a crisis. Let's fix it.
Dan Olmstead. Michelle, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Dan, thank you. I appreciate all the work that you do. Dan Olmstead, editor and founder at ageofautism.com, and we'll look forward to talking to you next month. Thank you, Dan.
Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show is on the air Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Join in on the show by calling 434-977-1070. Or feel free to leave a comment on the show at SevillePodcast.com. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.